This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It's good to have you along today. We're going to be talking about the holidays and how we can deal with COVID and the pandemic during this time of the year. Assistant Professor of Psychology Anna Baker of Bucknell University has joined us to give us some guidance on these matters. Thanks for joining us, Anna. COVID seems to have entered into every facet of life and every story I do. Did you kind of anticipate something like this when it all started, that saying, man, psychology is going to become part of this as well? Is that something you kind of saw coming?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there, from the very beginning of the pandemic, you started seeing research psychologists start to, know that we needed to do studies to understand how people were coping with the situation and how they're behaving and all those sorts of things. And so, like, you'll start seeing articles coming out, probably, actually some have already come out, you know, looking at people's responses to the pandemic, people's decisions about the pandemic, coping with the pandemic. Yeah. So, I mean, especially when you have a situation like this, where you're basically immediately changing people's behaviors, upending their lives, you know, the whole infrastructure, school system, et cetera. You know, it's going to have an impact for sure. And so both how people respond to it and how people, you know, make decisions and act.
Yeah, I've asked different people questions that I probably should have been asking somebody in psychology. So I'm glad I have you now. I can ask these questions too. But it's fascinating to me how some people can seem to accept that wearing a mask is a good thing. Other ones just act like it's. Is that something about our makeup, or is that solely people just going with what they think their politics is supposed to take them to?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot of things going on. It's not just one thing. I think that some of it's a reflection of kind of an amplified by the political climate and where we are as a country right now. Just this idea that a certain, you know, half the country basically is kind of valuing one thing, and the other half of the country is maybe valuing another thing as more important. You know, you would say half the country is saying public health is more important, we need to do our part with masks. And another part of the country is saying, if we start eroding our personal freedoms and, you know, what they're doing with the mandating of the mask, you know, it's everyone's personal responsibility. But if you're mandating these things, it's a slippery slope, right? So it's really, you know, they both have valid arguments. I think it's just that one segment of the country is kind of emphasizing one aspect more than the other. I think part of the issue, too, is how we communicate science and our science education in school and how research happens. I think a lot of people don't understand that the reason that guidelines changed and the reason that there's so much, you know, back and forth over do masks work, when do masks work, what type of material works, those types of issues kind of undermine for some people the legitimacy of whether wearing masks is even, you know, necessary. And they don't, maybe people don't understand that it's not black and white. It's not that, you know, it's not that you can go party and wear a mask and you're fine. You know, it's not that masks are like perfect. Really what the science has showed us, and it's taken a little while to kind of get this message out properly, is that, you know, social distancing, you know, not doing these big gatherings, et cetera, not being around people as much as possible, and then when it's necessary, wearing a mask. So social distancing first, and when necessary, mask wearing together help mitigate the risk. But the mask wearing science, you know, the way science works is that you have different research looking at different aspects of it, you know, like what material is best or how close do you need to be? You know, 6 feet is not like it's not like at 6 feet the virus magically drops, you know what I mean? But we have to have some sort of guideline come out to help people. And so I think that, you know, how we communicate how science works, and that it's not like there's a black and white answer, and that these studies over time give us, you know, we have to replicate them. We have to do studies to determine what's going on. We have to replicate it. It's not, you know, the way science comes out, you know, it has to go under peer review, et cetera. It's not like people just want an answer, and it's not that simple, you know? So I think that also, maybe the mixed message that came out, whether masks are efficacious, you know, the CDC's guidelines changed back and forth. We didn't understand things. We understand things a little more now. And, you know, a year down the road, we'll understand things even better. But the science kind of happens slowly. And when you have a novel virus come out, we didn't know exactly, you know, is it aerosol, is it not, right? Like, we didn't know exactly how it spread. We didn't know a lot of things about it. And so I think that undermined, you know, a certain segment of the country is like, well, they don't know what they're talking about, you know, and I think that that, you know, played into it. But I think the combination of the political climate and values being different, and then, you know, some of the communication about why we're doing these things was a little bit jumbled too. So I think it all kind of led to a perfect storm of this kind of split in ideas of, you know, in terms of who thinks it's, you know, a good idea to wear a mask and who's like, I'm not, you know, it's not worth it.
Right. Like so. The pandemic and the politics kind of fed off of each other at the, like you said,
yes,
perfect storm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Treatment or at least experiences of anxiety, has that increased a lot in this? I mean, have we seen significant jumps?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's the perfect storm in terms of mental health. So, but there's some upsides to it, which I'll talk about. So basically, you know, when someone already is dealing with anxiety and depression, right, one of the best treatments is what we say, you know, some of the best things to do are engage in pleasant activities, social support. So some of the things that we tell someone who's dealing with anxiety or depression to do, it's kind of hard to do during a pandemic, right? You can't go out and do things. You're isolated. You can't see your friends and family. And so that can exacerbate or lead to the development of mental health issues. And then on top of it, you have the anxiety related to the actual virus and how people are responding to the virus, et cetera. And so I think, you know, and add on top of that, job insecurity, economic issues, the political climate. I mean, you just have a recipe, you know, for a problem here. And I think, you know, there's been an increase in things like anxiety, depression. You're seeing an increase in things like abuse, right? Because usually you have a situation where maybe people can't leave the situations that they're in, right? They're stuck at home. So you do see a lot of issues that are out, you know, substance use is another one, right, for coping. So I think, you know, it's kind of a perfect storm. And then the things we would say to do to combat those mental health issues, we can't really do as well. So there's a lot of kind of creative thinking that needs to happen about what activities can we do? And, you know, during the summer, maybe you could go outside and do things, but during the winter, that's going to be a little bit harder. One good thing that came out of this is telehealth really exploded. There were a lot of barriers to telehealth before the pandemic, especially with insurance companies. There's a lot of back and forth about, you know, whether telehealth is worth it and whether it would cost more, et cetera. And insurance didn't necessarily want to cover it for a lot of reasons. With the pandemic, it became absolutely necessary. And a lot of the barriers, both with costs and insurance, and then also with technology. You know, we couldn't have done this 10, 20 years ago. We couldn't have had, you know, therapy sessions or doctor's visits through, you know, your computer. And now we can do that. And I think, you know, in terms of insurance, things got pushed through very quickly. In terms of technology, healthcare systems pushed it through really quickly. So I think now we have mental health services that are now suddenly available for people where they may not have been before. And even for people, you know, we had a problem with mental health accessibility for rural areas already. And now that's not been solved, but a lot of that has been helped by the fact that we can now, you know, you can be in, you know, Lewisburg and you could see a therapist at State College without leaving your house, right? So I think that that is one upside, is that the people have access now to mental health services, maybe who wouldn't have before. But it definitely, mental health issues have been a huge problem. And it's both related to the pandemic and anxiety about the pandemic, but then also, you know, all the fallout from that as well.
Okay. So. I like the silver linings occasionally in the pandemic. Another, not psychology related, but I also like not having to walk through the grocery store anymore, just picking it up outside. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, you see a lot of adjustment because of the pandemic. And some of these things are, you know, good progress that I think we'll see continue. Like, you know, in terms of these companies that are, you know, making it easier for people who can't get to the store to be able to get their groceries and other things that they need. So we'll see some progress there. And that some of it is good, right? And even just being able to have our technology advance in a way that we can, you know, some of this is going to last post-pandemic because it's just useful in general, right? And we saw that happen a lot quicker because of the pandemic. It's really, there's a lot of upsides to that telehealth. I mean, obviously, you can't replace in-person visits for certain things, but even medically, you know, the telehealth visits are definitely going to be really useful because you can, you know, you don't have that, the wait times, and you don't have the travel, and you don't have the having to take off work, those types of things, you know, as much anyway. And I think you'll see both mental health and health visits when possible, you know, we'll see more telehealth. And I think it's a really good thing.
Let's talk about a bit about the holidays and, you know, how people can make those decisions as far as getting together with family. My thought is it's all canceled. It's over. But you're kind of suggesting that there are ways to approach it that maybe, you know, depending how we do it, is that, you know, how do you how do you get a family to figure that out together?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a couple of things here. There's kind of two things. There's the decision about actual in-person gatherings. And that decision, again, isn't black and white. I think, you know, certain families have higher risks than others, and there are certain situations that are higher risk than others. So, you know, there's multiple things to take into account, and each family has to make their own risk assessment. You know, flying may be not as safe as driving. So if there's family in driving distance, maybe that's safer than if you have to actually fly. There's options for what you do if you are going to see family. You could do a two-week quarantine before you see family. You could do testing, if available, before you see family. So there are ways to do in person. Now, the family also has to decide, you know, if you have a elderly parent, you know, that has some health issues, maybe it's not worth it, you know, to do a family gathering, even mitigating some of that risk. Maybe it's just not worth it this year. We have a vaccine. The vaccine trials are looking pretty good. You know, in a few months, we'll have a vaccine come out, and, you know, maybe it's, you know, it's not worth the risk right now with that on the horizon. But, you know, we just talked about mental health issues. For some people, they're really isolated. They're really lonely. And if we can take some of the steps to mitigate the risk and still have somewhat of an in-person gathering, whether it's doing those things like quarantining and testing, whether it's wearing masks, whether it's, you know, it's hard in Pennsylvania. I'm from Florida originally. You know, you could do, certain places could do outdoor dinners, you know, and that might mitigate the risk a little bit more. So it's really up to each family to say, all right, what's our situation? What are the parameters here? And there's been some, you know, I've already heard about a lot of families who are having disagreements about what is appropriate and what risks, you know, what they should do to mitigate risks. You know, there's frustration with family members not, you know, saying that they'll quarantine, but not actually taking it seriously, those types of things. So you have to decide, you know, is the family together going to make a decision that everyone agrees on in terms of in-person gatherings? Now, if you're not going to do in-person gatherings, or if all the family can't get together, there are other options. You know, we just talked about, we saw during Easter and Passover, families doing these kind of Zoom dinners, right, where you'd have some family and then you'd have other family on the computer while you're having dinner and they're doing their dinner at the same time. Technology, you know, that wouldn't have been possible, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So I think technology has allowed us to have a lot of social support that we wouldn't have otherwise had through, you know, FaceTime and Zoom and those types of things. So even having, you know, we've heard about people getting into these pods, right? So maybe you can't have family for Thanksgiving. You do a family Zoom Thanksgiving, but you could do a Friendsgiving with your specific small pod, you know, and that's a way to get together. So there are creative ways to kind of handle the holidays, but it's definitely, you know, the holidays are always have a mixed bag in terms of, you know, some people have difficulty with the holidays anyway, and then you add possible social isolation and these other factors into it. And, you know, it's going to be difficult for, it's not going to be the same this year. But there are ways to, you know, there's some ways to deal with it. And I think still create enjoyable, you know, holiday traditions.
Okay. I think a lot of, once you get past that, accepting that this is not normal, this is not the way life will always be, but we have to deal with it now, you know, because I tend to be, if I did it this year, I have to do it every year, and now it's messed up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm saying that's okay, we can deal with it. So, okay.
There is an end, you know, eventually this, you know, there's always going to be, there's things that aren't, you know, things, this virus is probably going to be around. But, you know, once there's a vaccine and once, you know, things are going to get better. And we will have in-person gatherings again. You know, it's just, especially, like I said, the vaccine trials are looking pretty positive right now. So I think it's just, you know, like you said, accepting that this is the situation right now. So how are we going to make the best of it?
Again, we've been talking to Anna Baker, assistant professor of psychology at Bucknell University, helping us to guide through the pandemic holidays. We want to thank you for joining us, Anna. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.